Are you setting preconditions for Jesus to become your friend? Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today, I want to talk to you about setting preconditions. My text is from Matthew 27. Here we see Jesus hanging on the cross. And it says, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. So friend, here at the cross, the leaders of Israel, who refused to believe Jesus, who opposed and even tried to destroy him, offered the miracle worker what they thought was a final great deal. Come down from the cross, and we will believe in you. Now compare this offer at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry with Satan's offer at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. There Satan also tried to strike a deal with Jesus. It was clothed in these words, if thou be the Son of God, prove it by doing a series of miracles. Many of us are also tempted to strike an if-then deal with Jesus. Not only the atheist soldier says, Lord, if you get me out of this foxhole alive, I will serve you. But a myriad of other people, religious or not, set preconditions for Jesus to come into their hearts. But Jesus will never give anyone salvation on the basis of human demands or preconditions. Nor will he ever say or stay in any man who would move from unconditional surrender to making conditions for our Lord. Jesus knew he had to die, and no demand or offer of man would keep him from the suffering that was his to endure. No, Jesus does not want our faith in him to be built on what we want from him. You cannot get Jesus into your heart if your invitation is, provided he prospers me, provided he gives me a job, provided he gives me a spouse, provided he saves my husband from alcohol, provided he helps me sell my house, provided he heals my body, provided he gets me out of prison. Then, if he does that, then I will believe in him and stick with him. If we do those things, saying, I believe if he does so-and-so, my friend, we're going to miss what this thing is all about. Of course, our Lord is able to do all these things, and he may do some of them for you, but he will never do them on your terms or because you demand them. Queen Esther required nothing but what the king's chamberlain appointed. That was why she was chosen to be the queen. Requiring nothing but what the Lord appoints as a basis of your being chosen. Nothing less will do. You don't tell Jesus what to do. He will tell you what you need to do. So unless we accept what he has done for us on the cross as enough, as our only requirement, he will never be enough for us the rest of our lives. His terms are that you accept his finished work of salvation, confess your sins, repent of them, and follow him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, regardless of any circumstance, then he will come to you. Remember the gospel song that says, enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I came to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. It is enough. Is it enough for you that Jesus died? Do you really know what you're getting from this great salvation? Forgiveness of sins, freedom from guilt, and everlasting punishment. And then you get sonship, fellowship, power over anything that wants to overpower you, and life everlasting with bliss and glory. Isn't that enough for you? How do you dare come to Christ after having received all this and then later say, only if you do thus and so will I continue with you? Oh, let there be no if then, no come down from the cross and then I will believe mentality in your life. Jesus does not want people who will quit if they don't get something they want. If an if could get you into your faith, then an if can take you out of it. Millions of people pass through such a revolving if-then door in and out of their faith. But if surrender to the cross brought you in, you will keep singing, it is enough that Jesus died. Whether you prosper or not, whether you get healed or not, whether or not you are persecuted, imprisoned, or beaten. How pitiful the sight of many a Christian when he loses his home. He mourns as if he lost Christ himself. But consider the Apostle Paul speaking to Jewish Christians who lost their homes and all belongings, saying, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. That's from Hebrews chapter 10. Those Christians came in by the cross, and the cross kept them in. It was enough for them. Is it enough for you? Their allegiance to Jesus had nothing to do whether they lost or kept their homes. Can you take the spoiling of your goods, your plans, your health, your reputation, your ministry joyfully? If you can, my friend, you have the real thing. If not, you need to trade in your make-believe for the real thing. Horatio Spafford lost his son in 1871, then all his property in a fire, then all four of his daughters drowned in a shipwreck. His response was to write a hymn. It is called, It Is Well With My Soul. Oh, what real faith in the Christ of Calvary can do. So your prayer for this and that may not be answered. You may not see the miracles others have. You may not prosper as others do, but you still have the miracle of faith itself. It is that pure, naked faith that needs no crutches or other miracles to sustain it. It only needs God Himself for sustenance. This miracle of faith creates a relationship with Jesus that cannot be broken by unanswered prayers, by miracles not being seen. It keeps Christ in your heart no matter what, under any condition of sufferings, disappointments, and severe trials. Praise God for this miracle of faith. Oh, think of the Christians who suffer under persecution. What keeps them singing for Jesus? What keeps the glory on their faces after they have been tortured? They came in by the cross, not by Jesus meeting their demands. And they are kept by the work of the cross and what the cross means to them. Most of them never see water turn into wine, bread and fishes multiplied, a cripple healed, or cold air turning warm in their frigid prison cells. Yet they consider the suffering as light affliction, not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits them. Now, whose testimony is stronger? He who believes because he has been healed, or the one who believes without having been healed? Didn't Jesus say to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe"? So don't run after the miracle workers who will take you on a roller coaster ride. Run after those whose faith has been tested and tried, whose faith has found a resting place in the bleeding wounds of our Lord Jesus. Johnny Erickson broke her neck at 17 by diving into a shallow lake. She is a quadriplegic. She's physically helpless. In the last 40 years, she has gone from church to church testifying not of any physical healings, for she has had none. But with the glory of God on her face, she talks about the miracle she continually experiences, a loving relationship with a gracious God who saved her, who keeps her, and has a place prepared for her and a throne of God. She's in a wheelchair, shining while her listeners, with all the comforts of the world, sit there stunned with dim faces of shame and embarrassment. Friend, drop your preconditions, and you can get what she has. I'm all for miracles. I'm all for answers to prayer. But listen, real faith can do without miracles, because in itself, it is the greatest of all miracles. It is a faith that caused Job to say, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him," that caused Paul to say, after listing all his beatings, shipwrecks, and imprisonments, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors." It is his faith that makes up Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah," etc. What is the root of this faith that sets no preconditions, a faith void of if-then proposals? Indeed, faith comes by hearing, but the root of this indestructible faith that keeps us abiding in Christ is love. Paul said, "Faith works by love." Friend, your faith is no greater. It works no better than your love. When your love for Jesus fails, your faith vanishes. Jesus did more miracles in Capernaum than any city, but he condemned it to hell because there was no love for him in that town, so their faith had no starting point. This is true for all those who come to Jesus on preconditions. Oh, my friend, the scribes came to Jesus saying, "Come down from the cross. We will believe in you if you do so." Friend, there was no love in these scribes for Jesus. Set no preconditions. Love him for who he is, for what he's done for you on the cross, and faith will be like Abraham and Paul's in your heart. So, dear ones, this is a challenge to you. Don't set preconditions, but realize that faith is working by love, and as long as you have love for Jesus, you have a faith that can handle anything, any trial, any tribulation that comes across your way. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time together. Help us to get this message into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week, the same time over the same station. And goodbye now until then.